Well, we're talking about money, so money and humility. Humility. Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit, when you are new in Christ, you begin to produce fruit. This does not come by your intense labor. It just is like a fruit tree. By being alive, being fed of God, the natural thing is to produce the fruit. It's the natural thing the fruit tree does. And so the fruit of the Spirit, if we're walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. If you were to take a survey of people around you, say, what would be the three greatest things that you would want to happen in life? They would say love, joy, and peace, maybe not in that order. But after love, joy, and peace, he says long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. Against such there is no law. So after God reveals love, joy, and peace as fruit of the Spirit, he lists long-suffering, gentleness, and meekness, and these qualities describe humility. Long-suffering means you put up with stuff. You are long in your patience. Gentleness means the way you deal with people, that you'd like to slap them, but you don't. And meekness is the humility of saying yes to the authorities that God has given you, having that attitude toward the chain of command. Now, I want you to consider that humility is first a part of true internal worship. That is your personal experience of showing God's worthiness. Worship, worth-ship. It is also a part of true external service. So if you don't have humility, you're not really worshiping the worthy God. You are allowing him to parade you. But also as you serve others, Acts 20, verse 19, serving the Lord, the apostle says, with all humility of mind. Serving him, see. And with many tears and temptations which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews. He didn't have that sense of pride that people like in those who are suffering, those who are plotting revenge and so on. He had humility, all humility of mind. Let me just share with you two things tonight. One is the meaning of humility. Pride is so powerful in us that even when we think we have humility, we probably don't. So, the meaning of humility, the first thing I want to tell you is it is not pretending to be less than you are. Well, it's not for me to say what I've done, you know, and so on. And you're so proud of what you are, but I'm just not going to say that, you see. That's not humility. In fact, that's a false humility. This is the pretending to be humble while you're so great. Well, then what is it? Well, first of all, it is realizing the source of your goodness. Are you proud of your goodness? Well, where did it come from? Is it really from you? Romans 7:18, the Apostle Paul gave this testimony. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He searched himself, top to bottom, left to right. He says, nope, no good thing there. If I've done anything good, it did not come from me. And he says, the reason I know this is that for to will is present with me, to do good, I want to do that, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. thwarted by who we are. It means that in yourself, it's not necessarily bad, it's just that you're no better than anybody else is. Let me say it again. In yourself, you are no better than anyone else is. I know a man who used to say, I don't think anybody's any better than me. Well, I guess that's true, but it's also true to say it this way. You are no better than anyone else. I mean, pick anyone. And this is of course, from God's point of view, not man's point of view, from God's point of view. And let me share this with you. Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? Only a fool would say that. I am pure from my sin. The wise man says, nobody can say that. Ecclesiastes 7:20, for there is not a just man upon earth that doth good and sinneth not. They're all like us, and we're like them. Isaiah 53:6a, all we like sheep have gone astray, just wandered away. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's pride. I did it my way. Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Even Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't worry, God is not worried that you're moving into his place, you see. The Apostle Paul, as great a man as he was, as great a man as we must acknowledge him to be, a man used of God so much, he labeled himself. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Wisest of all, King Solomon, he acknowledged the same. Proverbs 30, verse 2, surely I am more brutish, like a brute, like an animal, than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. He says, when I see the whole picture, I'm an animal, hungry, wanting to do stuff, just hunting down things. Now, you'll recognize pride, because pride thinks differently. Isaiah 65:5, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. You wondered where that phrase came from? Right here. The sinner is saying it in pride. These are a smoke in my nose. You have smoke in your nose? You know what that's? That's horrible. I don't like that. God says, these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. We have an example of pride in Luke 18:11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Pick the worst person around, you know, the guy stumbling drunk, and so and I'm better than that. Well, maybe you're better than one area, maybe not in another. So we're looking at the question, where does the source come from? And the answer is negatively, not from us. So if we're proud of our goodness, we're putting patting the wrong person on the back. So, second thought, it is from God. If you have any goodness that is worthy of the name, it is from God. Our text, we saw that it comes as a fruit of the Spirit working within us. As we yield what Adam gave us, our sinful body, as we yield that to God, as we say, yes, I'll follow the leading of the Spirit, then we find it produces a fruit within us, and part of that is humility. The Apostle Paul asks, 1 Corinthians 4:7, "For who maketh thee to differ from another?" And the answer is God. "And what hast thou that thou didst not receive?" You see, pride seems to think, I earned it myself. I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. And he says, you got it as a gift. Why are you bragging about yourself because you got a gift? "Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? Why do you boast as if it hadst not received it?" Like you just made it yourself. 1 Corinthians 15:10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet, even that, my labor, not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Think of God's grace as his empowering, giving you the power to do what you can't do by yourself. Now, the second thing, we saw the realizing the source of your goodness. The second thing is that humility rejoices at the gifts and abilities of others. Pride takes offense at that. So you think you're better than me. See? Humility rejoices at the gifts and abilities of others. Let me take you to Moses. Numbers 12:3. We're going to come back to this and you find out what was happening when he said this, when he wrote this. "Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." This almost sounds like he's bragging about his humility. But remember, he was giving what God told him to write. You can almost say, God, really? Really, you want me to say that? Numbers 11:29. "And Moses said unto him," and to Joshua, "Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them." Joshua is concerned that people are saying, we can do that. We could be as holy as he is. And he says, don't be envious for my sake. I wish all God's people had the gifts he's given to me. I often have mentioned this, the fact of his humility, but remember the story of Moses and his meekness. Numbers 16:3 to 5. "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Who made you boss?" We know who made him boss. He knew who made him boss. He knew he didn't step up and say, God, I have an idea. I'll just be the boss of all the people. But being the boss, how did he react to this affront? These upstarts, you see. "And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face." This is falling upon his face in fear of God and in reverence to God. "And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow," because God was using him as a prophet, speaking to the people through him. And just now God told him something. "Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him." And on that day, Korah was swallowed by the earth. Have you been in an earthquake? It's a mind-bending thing. Everything we know is supposed to be still. firm and it's just moving and it twists your mind. And then a crack opened up, and like a mouth, it opened up and they fell into it, all of these, saying they were going to be the boss. And then the crack closed. They were gone, dead and buried. But what did he say? We'll let God sort it out. I want you to notice David. David had his problems. David was a sinner. But God said he was a man after his own heart. I have longed to be that kind of person. I would like for God to recognize that I want to be along with his heart. And the promise of God is that he's going to be the ruler. He will be Christ's co-regent or vice-regent on the throne in Jerusalem. Here's what he said, Psalm 34:2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. When a person who's being looked up to, for whatever reason, says, the only thing I have to boast about is God, what God has done for me and through me. And so all of you who are humble should rejoice in this, because I'm telling you, it's not of me, it's only God. John the Baptist became the most famous prophet because they hadn't heard from God speaking in 400 years. And he hit the scene, and Jews all over the world were excited. I mean, that news spread. John the Baptist, John 3, 30 and 31. He, speaking of Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. He had his disciples. John the Baptist had disciples following him. And he said, I'm just showing you the way. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth, himself, is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Do you think he saw a clear distinction between him and God? He says, I've got a job to do, but it's all about this earth, repenting of the bad things you've done, turning away, thinking a new way of thinking. So here are some of the greatest men the Bible ever speaks of. And they had the true humility that says it came from God. The third thing is humility is willing to receive instruction from another. Are you humble? What if somebody says, could I share something with you? You say, well, of course you could, but I know more than you do, so what good is that going to be? See? Apollos. He was Bible calls him an eloquent man, a man who could speak and sway the audience. He was a mighty preacher of the scriptures. And he was preaching the message of John the Baptist. And then Aquila and Priscilla, tent makers who had hired on a little man named Paul, and got stimulated to do the work and just decided to move around wherever he wanted them and became leaders themselves. And they said to him, we appreciated your message. Could we share with you something else? And this mighty man of ability, mighty with the scriptures, said, yes, tell me. And they told him of Christ, the fulfilling of John the Baptist's message. And he said, this is great. he became a preacher of Christ. Acts 18 tells you the story. To have a couple of tent makers come and instruct you on what you should be preaching. This was not a man of pride. Again, humility receives admonitions. Who do you think you are telling me what to do? That's pride speaking. Proverbs 9:8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. In fact, if you try to reprove somebody and he hates you, you know he's a scorner. That's a certain type of fool. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Oh, thank you. Sort of a blind spot with me. I hadn't realized that. Thank you for sharing that. Psalm 141:5. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, and it shall be an excellent oil. Ah, how soothing. Which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer shall also be in their calamities. I'm praying for the problems. So, I welcome people to admonish me, to urge me to do something better than I do. Another characteristic, humility, patiently bears injuries. People have hurt you. Your attitude as a humble person should be to take it and say, God will settle it. Ephesians 4:2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. What do you have to forbear? People doing nice things to you? I guess I have to put up with it. No. People doing bad things to you. People saying bad things about you. I think it's important for us to recognize that that's going to happen. And we bear with it. We forbear it. Colossians 3:12-13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, as the chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on bowels of mercy. We would say a heart of mercy today. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Saying, add these virtues to your life. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, just put up with it. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And this is what catches us up. We say, but I don't want to forgive him, and he did me harm. And you did harm to Christ and his name, and he forgave you and saved you. We are to be like Christ. We are to learn from Christ. Now let me take you back to that passage that I said where Moses calls himself, writes that he is the meekest man. It came at a time when he was sorely tested to show his pride. Numbers 12, 1-3, and then 13. And Miriam, remember who Miriam was? His sister. And Aaron was his brother, spake against Moses. What? Who are they speaking to? They were not speaking to Moses. They were speaking to the people. They were undermining the authority of their brother because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So I'm not sure what they thought was wrong with the Ethiopian woman. But he didn't marry another Jew. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. This is why Moses understood he could be meek. He doesn't have to raise a hand to slap his sister. God can do that. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. In verse 13, and Moses cried unto the Lord because she had become a leper, to be driven from the society of men and live by herself until the disease ate up her entire body. God spanked her right there, slapped her in the face. Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee, I beg you. The woman who just insulted him, this is the illustration of him being the meekest man on the earth, when your own people, you count on your own relatives, say, you're nothing, we're as good as you. Let me share again. Humility submits quietly to the hand of God. Quiet here has a very special meaning. Aaron's sons, if you remember, were killed by God in a miraculous way for their wrong handling of the incense fire. And Moses spoke to him. Moses came up to Aaron and said this, Leviticus 10:3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake. This wasn't an accident. This wasn't something arbitrary of God. Oh, I got to smite somebody. Let's pick those two. Saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. God said, the people who act as priests will show that I am a holy God. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people, I will be glorified. And it says, and Aaron held his peace, not from talking bad about Moses here, but talking bad about God. When you lose someone close to you, and you see that it was done because they had refused God, before they said, we know as much about righteousness as God does, we'll just do what we want. And that stuff kills them. We say, I'll hold my peace. This is from God. I will not speak bad about God. We see that Eli had that attitude. God told little Samuel that Eli's sons would die. You remember the story of how wicked they were. 1 Samuel 3:18, and Samuel told him, Eli, every whit, and hid nothing from him. This little boy looking up at this old priest and said, well, here's what he said. And Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth to him good, seemeth him good. Humility says, I will not speak against God because he does something I didn't like. He knows better than I do. When David suffered for his transgressions, and you know them, he accepted it as from the Lord. Psalm 39:9, I was dumb, I was not speaking, I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. I did not complain about my trials because I knew it came from you, God. This is the attitude of humility. It submits quietly, literally quietly, to the hand of God. And then again, this one. Humility does not seek great things. And here is where we see the money connection. Humility and money. It intersects right here. People want money for various reasons. They want to spend it on themselves for various purposes. Peter urges us to adorn ourselves not merely with gold and jewels. He said there's a better way. 1 Peter 3:4. But let it, your adornment, be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, doesn't die and rot. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, there's humility, you see. That's an ornament which in the sight of God, which is in the sight of God, of great price. We sometimes think we see beautiful people and we want to be beautiful people. We see that sparkling jewel and we want sparkling jewels so that we'll sparkle like they sparkle. We want to look like them. We want to be beautiful. And then we remember that God exists in the beauty of holiness. He sees us in our flesh. He says, yeah, they're lumps of clay. I made them. And they look at each other and they say, nice lump of clay you got there. He says, I look at something else. I want to see if they look like my son Jesus. That's beautiful. You know, there's an entirely different way of looking at being beautiful. God has blessed some of you with physical beauty. Be careful with it. Because if it leads you to think you're something special, you are, of course, but not because you're beautiful. Beautiful people tend to make others serve them rather than having a servant's heart. So adorn yourself with that hidden man of the heart where God says you're beautiful. Meek and quiet spirit, God says, I love that look. God spoke to Baruch, the son of Neriah, through Jeremiah. Jeremiah 45:5, the first part. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Like the doctor. It hurts when I put my hand out like that. He says, don't do that. It's wrong. Bad for you. David prays, Psalm 131:1, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. King David said there's some things too high for me. Says I don't exercise myself in those things. If God gives me a small job to do, I just want to do it until I can't do it anymore. All right, that takes care of what is humility. I hope that meant something to you. The second and last thing that I want to say, I want you to share with you the usefulness of humility, that it is a quality worthy of dumping your pride, worthy of learning, even in difficult lessons. It's useful. Several things here. One, it is well-pleasing to God. That should be enough, isn't it? It's well-pleasing to God. 1 Peter 3:4, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. God sees it as beautiful. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Stand together against God, he's going to punish you both. Proud in heart, abomination. Just horrible. Secondly, it conforms to Christ. And that's our goal, to be conformed to Christ. Humility does that. Prophecy and fulfillment. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, a donkey, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Fulfillment, Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, the words of Christ. Christ, the greatest that had ever set foot on earth, said, I am lowly. This is the only way I know how to be human, because this is the way God wants it. Your humility, third point, it helps in prayer. I try actually to exorcise, cast out pride when I pray. Pride will tell God what to do. Pride thinks I've rubbed the lamp and I can tell the genie my wishes, and he has to do it. Pride. Humility says, this is important and I would love it if you would help us out here. Psalm 9:12. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. The humble are the lowly. The humble are the people that aren't making the rules, but perhaps are suffering because of the rules. And we cry out to God. We go beyond the immediate authority to the ultimate authority. It helps in proclaiming the word. Would you like to be someone who shares the gospel and shares it significantly? Acts 20:19, we saw this earlier. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. But he said, it's not what happens to me, but whether the gospel gets out. So I'm serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Again, 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. He said unto me, when I asked for my weakness to be removed, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, oh, okay then. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, my being infirm, not firm, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, and in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For I see the way it works. When I am weak, then am I strong. When I'm weak in self, I am strong in God. Your humility, true humility, actually makes you a more effective servant. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. As you're correcting someone else, are you guilty of pride? It kind of ruins the whole thing. 2 Timothy 2:24-25. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. They're fighting against God, and God says they're fighting against themselves. They're ruining themselves. In meekness, instruct them. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging the truth. We approach him humbly. We approach them humbly. We say, if you would only see that God is offering you a better way of life, a healthier way of life, a smarter way of life. James 3:13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Could I see your hands? Let him show out of a good conversation, a good manner of life, his works with meekness of wisdom. Knowledge is when you know the facts. Wisdom is when you know how to use them correctly. And meekness of wisdom is when you do it with a lowliness of heart. My last verse is this, 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord, make him holy in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you. This word answer is where we get our word apologetics. It's the word for making a defense in court. Give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. And how do you give that answer to this man? With meekness and fear. Not the proud, well, if you only knew what I knew, you'd be accepting the Bible. The one undoes the other. So give the answer with meekness and fear. So I think I will consider my argument complete, that humility is very useful for the Christian, personally inside and externally as he serves. Let's pray. Father, you have made us from the dust of the earth. To the dust our bodies will return. And yet we somehow think that we're better than other pieces of dirt. We compare ourselves with ourselves, and therefore we're not wise. I ask, Father, you might help us to see humility as a perfect jewel that you will see as glorious, that you will see as something that you admire. When we recognize fully who we are, what we came from, and yet we long to be empowered by you and to be that channel of power. It comes in us, works through us, and is given to others for their betterment. And yet, in all of it, we were just obedient. We were not exceptional. I pray, Father, that you might help us then to long for humility, that we can serve you properly, be properly oriented to our money. We're not using it to lord it over others, to be seen by others as wonderful, but as a servant of yours. With heads bowed and eyes closed, it may be you're saying, Pastor, I have a problem with pride. Well, I admire you because you know what a lot of people never know. And that is, pride is the easiest sin for you to commit. It is almost the default sin. If that's your concern, that perhaps you're losing the battle against pride, I wonder if you would say, pray for me, that I will recognize how great God is, and that the only good that ever happens in me is from God, and the good that I have done is God working through me. Therefore, God gets all the praise. If that's your prayer, if that's your concern, would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me? Yes, amen. Yes. Father, then we bow before you, the great God, the grand God, the all-powerful God. We recognize that we are but dust that you have animated, and we have an opportunity to serve you by sharing your worthiness with others. As we love you and we love our neighbor, we share who you are, but we don't do it because we're so great. We do it as a sinner that has been saved and by thy grace. Help us then to just leave self alone, to not glory in what we have done or what we know or what we've accomplished even for you. Help us to see, Father, that it is you working, using us as a man might pick up an axe and chop a limb. We are the tool being used of you. And so we will not brag about ourselves. We'll brag about the one who has used us. You are our boast. You are our glory. I ask that each one here might recognize how easy it is to look down on others, how easy it is for us to think that we're maybe just a little better. Help us to remove that and to come before you as a lowly person, a person given to sin, even the sin of pride, which, horror of horrors, was the sin of the devil that made the greatest angel fall into sin. I pray thy blessing upon each of us. Help us to grow in thee and to learn true humility. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.